Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
I was listening to some of the new promos you put out from last year, and I got to say, it's good stuff. Comedy gold right there.
Thanks. I appreciate that. Yeah, I did 16 new 60-second long promos for Free Talk Live. That was basically how I spent my Christmas, just editing audio all day. That's what I did.
Yeah. Yeah. Really good stuff.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Another thing is
by the way, listeners can see or listen to those rather over at promos.freetalklive.com. There's dozens of them there.
Yeah. Oh, I do love spending time listening to the promos. They're awesome. But anyway, another small thing is at the end of your show for the first day of the new year, you had this person call in, this I'm guessing liberal person call in and complain to you about how you guys are against social programs. And when you argued about the violence aspect of it, she was like, "Well, if you don't like it, then get out of the country, you effer." Mm. I'm like, "Yeah, you need to make a promo out of that one too, because that would be great."
Man, if I don't tell you what, if I don't mark it at the time that it happens. If you want to find the time code and then shoot me an email about it, I'll make a note and check it out.
That
would be the easiest way to do it. I appreciate
it. Don't worry about it.
I just think that, just trying to think about this here, they're saying they want, these are the Republicans who supposedly don't want the government to control healthcare, you know, if you believe the rhetoric. They're saying they don't want the government to control healthcare, but oh yeah, we do want to make sure that every primary care physician is giving mandatory government mandated drug tests to all of their customers, and then we're going to force them into treatment if they test positive. But yet we don't want the government running healthcare. I mean, you cannot have it both ways.
It's just one of those hypocritical things with conservatives who say, "We are conservatives. We are for small government." Oh yeah, we need to lock down the border. Oh yeah, we gotta make some serious restrictions for marijuana use.
Yeah,
yeah, it's such hypocrisy. It's just hilarious.
Well, the good news is Vermont is expecting to pass legislatively marijuana legalization as soon as I've heard, maybe as soon as tomorrow. Certainly probably going to happen this week. The governor
New Hampshire passed it today.
The state representatives. State representatives passed it with a good margin. But unfortunately, as you talked about on Call to Freedom, the governor in New Hampshire has pledged to veto, which shouldn't be a surprise, because when he ran for office, he said he would be against legalization.
Yeah, well, he's going to toe the line for the thin blue line crowd. I mean, that's what Republicans do.
He's going to, but he did sign decrim last year.
This guy, he's become one of the most influential drug warriors of the past century. It says here he began his career as a lefty on drug control in the 1970s, calling then for the decriminalization of marijuana possession. But then he launched the first U.S. and launched the first U.S. methadone treatment program for heroin, interesting enough, back in 1971. But then in the 1980s, he became a righty and started popularizing the claim that marijuana was a, quote, gateway drug, which is a
It's been disproved, by the way, many times, including by the government's own Institute of Medicine study, I believe, from the year 1999. Which they, they didn't want to find that out, but they did end up finding out that, according to science, it's not a gateway drug.
Yeah,
nicotine and alcohol; those are gateway drugs. The first thing I ever did was smoke a cigarette. Mm-hmm. Well, no, chew tobacco.
There you go.
Yeah, and another thing is that in 2010, this guy proposed a national model bill that called for law enforcement to test anyone stopped for suspicions of driving under the influence for all controlled substances and arresting them if there were any trace at all showed up in their systems, regardless of the amount. And so this guy seems to be – he's a really
hardcore drug warrior. And now he's like working for the Trump administration, this guy?
Yeah, he's an assistant. He's a marijuana advisor to Jeff Sessions. Yeah.
Well, they ought to hire somebody like the Prince of Pot, like Mark Emery from Canada. He ought to be the marijuana advisor to Trump. They're going in the wrong direction. But, you know, I think it's just too little too late. It's the prohibition that makes marijuana a gateway drug, meaning that, you know, for me, I didn't smoke a cigarette first. I actually did. I think I had alcohol first and then shortly thereafter cannabis. But ultimately, they found out in their study that it's a gateway because it's associated with drug dealers who push other things.
Yeah.
So because marijuana is being sold in some cases alongside with the same or by the same person who might be selling heroin or something like that, you know, it increases the likelihood that the marijuana buyer might try something else.
Now, here's the funny thing, though. when I was younger, like when I was working in the club scene
in Florida,
I had quit using hard drugs. I didn't drink and I only smoked cannabis, and that was the only thing that I would do.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was this huge bust where the St. Pete police were so proud of this bust that they literally put up billboards talking about, if you think it's dry this month, wait till November.
We talked about this on Free Talk Live probably in like 2002 or 2003.
Yep. I lived in St. Pete when that happened.
Yeah.
And that's when I started using crystal meth. I was a meth addict for a year.
Wait, because you couldn't get weed?
Yeah. I was a DJ in a gay club.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm
plenty of drugs around.
Yeah, there's plenty of every kind of drug around. Coke,
plenty of guys
meth,
who are willing to do it with you.
For real. You know, my roommate was a drag queen. So
yeah. You would have been what, like 20 at the time or something?
22, yeah. 21.
So, I was young male DJ at a gay club. I mean, you got no shortage of gay guys who want to spend time with you, I'm sure.
Oh, that was one of those things is like they would bring the straight girlfriends from work and you know, bring them in and they would talk to me, and then they would realize like, oh, you play on the same team that I do. And it was a really crazy and eventful life for about 6 years. Yeah.
Sounds like it. Well, I'm glad you were able to, like you said, you weren't hooked on the meth.
No.
So you were able to put
it
down.
Well, I had a roommate that was, and it was bad. You know, like he was the kind of guy, and he was the one who introduced me to it, that would, I won't say his name just to protect his identity,
sure.
But like he was what we would call a crack coon. He would literally, in the middle of the night, if it was all gone, you would
get
hear
up and
him.
Run.
You would hear him like knocking over trash cans and digging under the couches and stuff and like setting pieces of potato chip on fire, you know.
Just he was trying to scrounge.
To find some meth.
KOMONews.com reporting that there is a new soda tax in town and it's causing sticker shock for some shoppers. Many stores now have signs posted showing you exactly how much you have to pay. They're letting you know. The convenience stores, the grocery stores, all of a sudden there's been a huge jump in the price of soda and other sugary drinks, and they want you to know, hey, we didn't do this.
Not us.
This wasn't our wholesalers. This isn't us. This is a gang known as the City of Seattle. Forcing us, if we do not take this money, they're going to send men with guns into our business, and they're going to take all of our soda. They're going to take our money. They're going to shut us down. So, I mean, the signs don't say all that, but they do say here, effective January 1st, 2018, City of Seattle sweetened beverage tax of 1.75 cents per ounce will be included in the price of all sweetened beverages. 1.75 cents. Now, how many ounces are in a 1 liter bottle of, say, Coca-Cola?
I don't know.
I don't know either. Whether it's crystal methamphetamine, gateway drugs, or a different kind of drugs, sugar. Some people would say that there's, you know, sugar addicts out there. In fact, I would say there definitely are. I mean, I remember working in retail, doing checkouts, the big Kmart back in Florida when I was a teenager, and seeing people come through that checkout line with a grocery cart full of soda. I'm telling you, there was nothing else in the grocery cart except for just flats and flats and flats of soda pop. And they did not look like the wealthiest of people
That is one thing. It's like that soda seems to be like those of us who can afford not to drink it don't. Like me, I don't really drink soda. I drink like maybe one a day.
Yeah, but you're a big coffee drinker.
I'm a huge coffee drinker. Yeah. But I'm a snob about my coffee too.
I'm more of a water guy. You know, I pretty much have water wherever
my mom's like that.
It doesn't get cheaper than water.
Yeah, my mom does that. She constantly has this huge 44-ounce styrofoam cup full of water with her 24 hours a day.
It's the best, especially if you got cotton mouth.
Now, instead of the the old house, the old lady with the bonnet on and the black dress and the big collar and you.
Now it's somebody with a beret.
Yeah, now it's some, you know, some girl in a beret and some dude who looks like me and dresses like me but couldn't change a tire. Yeah.
Well, authoritarianism knows no bounds, does it?
No, not really.
Yeah. Quote from another shopper, Mary Hood says, I don't have any problem with them disclosing the tax. I don't think it's insidious or anything like that. Well, no, of course it's not insidious. That's, you know, transparency. Good for these companies for letting their customers know where this all of a sudden humongous price jump came from. Jamil Chavez says, I think it's a good business move. While some shoppers say they've decided to quit drinking soda, others have said they're willing to drive a little further to pay less. Peterson, one of the shoppers, says, quote, "We'll just go ahead and make the trip outside the city when we want to buy some." And that was the same person who said that that he had changed his mind. So he changed his mind about buying at that location. He didn't change his mind about drinking soda. He's just going to drive a little bit further so he can avoid. So he's going to spend a little more on gasoline so he can avoid spending more on the soda.
If I'm going to drink something like that personally, I want a locally made soda pop that's like...
They're going to hit you with that if it's made in Seattle. They don't care.
I know. Yeah. I know. But I'm that's what I'm going for. Yeah. I'm not going for the like Coca-Cola and a mouthful of carbon and it's just gross. It tastes like a... It's thick. It feels thick going down. It's like you're drinking syrup to me. It's gross.
It's pretty rare that I'll have soda these days, and I quit drinking that kind of stuff back when I was like 19, and I went I went total water like all the time, and it was hard to do because I was so used to drinking sugary drinks at that time in my life that it was, you know, it was like I had to force myself. I literally had a gallon of water that I trucked around with me and, you know, took everywhere with me and that I would drink from. So I literally forced myself to do it. And now I love water. It's just so, it's so good. Sometimes when I'm thirsty, it tastes sweet to me.
I drink like two pots of coffee a day. Yeah. That's what I do. If sin taxes are wrong on alcohol, they're wrong on soda. And
well,
if
these people wouldn't
soda,
say
they're
wrong
on alcohol.
These people wouldn't say they're wrong. They said we need higher taxes on all of this to keep people away from it.
That's social engineering.
That's exactly what it is.
It's social engineering.
And it doesn't work.
No, it's never worked. Yeah.
I mean, you can't prohibit things.
I didn't stop smoking cigarettes when they went to be $8 a pack. I didn't stop smoking cigarettes when they were $14 a pack in New
York.
How
old were you when you started smoking cigarettes?
Smoking? Yeah. 16.
Okay, so you were below the legal age. So you've been breaking the law on the cigarettes for a long time.
I started chewing tobacco when I was 11.
Glad you still don't do that.
Yeah.
That's a nasty habit. Oh, man. People carrying around them soda bottles just spitting into them all the time.
That used to be me when I was a teenager in my younger days. I told you, man, I grew up in Appalachia.
You're a real redneck.
I'm a hick,
America's favorite redneck Muslim. That's what they call you nowadays.
Allahu Akbar!
The city of Seattle says the new tax is expected to generate $15 million for the city in the first year, which will help promote access to healthy food and address education funding shortfalls. Who could be against that? Well, I mean, we want people to eat healthy. We want education, right? I mean, come on.
It's not the government's job to protect us from ourselves. No, I love children, and I, as a responsible adult and responsible parent, buy the things for my children that they should have. Mm-hmm. I don't stock my house with crap.
Japanese idol agency, according to news.bitcoin.com, called Cinderella Academy, has created a female idol group called Virtual Currency Girls, consisting of members chosen from an already established idol group with a zodiac constellation theme created by the same agency, but for whatever reason they're not naming what that group is. Each of the group's eight members represents a cryptocurrency that is popular in the Japanese market. According to local publications, 18-year-old Narusa Rara, who represents Bitcoin Cash, is the leader of the group. Representing Bitcoin is 16-year-old Hinano Shirahama, and then they go down the rest of them. There's several others.
Neo. They've got the Chinese cryptocurrency. They've got Mona Chan.
Yep. They've got NEM. They got Cardano, Ether, Ripple, which isn't really it's not really a cryptocurrency, but you know.
Now I love the ideas behind Neo and Mona, because these are basically you had people in these countries on their own version of 4chan, basically. And they decided, why does the West get to have Bitcoin? I mean, basically. And they decided, well, we're going to create our own cryptocurrency for Asia. And China has Neo, which is basically a cryptocurrency for China.
I heard about that.
It was made by Chinese. And then you have Mona Coin or Mona China.
That's a new one to me. I don't know what that one is.
That's been one I've had a little fun making a little bit of money off of that one. That's one of those. It's a cycling coin. It started out at the beginning of last year at
less
than a dollar.
I've got the pictures of these girls, and the bizarre thing about this. Now, I don't follow the Japanese idols really. I mean, I've watched some of the Korean pop bands here and there. Do they all wear masks? Is that a thing in Japan?
No.
So this seems very unusual. These girls are wearing what are the equivalent of luchador masks.
Yeah, luchador masks.
Luchador, basically, or whatever, however you pronounce
luchador.
It. Mexican wrestlers.
Luchador.
Right.
Nacho Libre.
Right. Everybody's seen these guys with the full face masks, in wrestling. These girls have that, and the logos of their cryptocurrency are emblazoned across the forehead of each one of these sort of cutesy. I mean, they're not really in that cutesy. There's weird masks. So you can't really see, you know, these might be like the least pretty girls in Japanese pop. That's why they're making them wear masks. I don't know. Because normally the thing with the idol phenomenon is they're very, very attractive young ladies and young males. You have the male groups as well. The idol phenomenon, according to news.bitcoin.com, began in the early 1970s. Today, it's a multi-million dollar industry in Japan and South Korea. Talent agencies hold auditions for boys and girls with little or no prior experience in the entertainment industry. They're then trained and marketed as idols or aspiring stars and starlets to be role models and adored for their sweetness and innocence. They sing, dance, perform in plays, and appear in television commercials, among other public-facing work.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy, so I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
Even old Jamie Dimon had to admit that he was wrong. This is the CEO of JP Morgan Chase, one of the biggest banks in the United States and probably on the planet. This guy is obviously worth quite a bit of money, and he, you know, his opinions get news headlines. And when he came out this late fall, or I guess sometime this fall, September, apparently, at a banking conference, he called Bitcoin a fraud and went off about how terrible Bitcoin was, and said that he was going to fire people in his company if they traded with Bitcoin on the company's accounts. And then now apparently he's saying he regrets making those comments. But he didn't really say why. He says he's not that interested in the subject, quote, not interested that much in the subject at all, unquote. But yet, all these news agencies keep asking him about it. They keep coming to him and asking, Mr. Dimon, what do you think about Bitcoin? As though he knows anything about these cryptocurrencies. From the comments this guy made before, he just sounds like some doddering old fool, and he doesn't have any clue what he's talking about. Despite his lack of interest, Dimon made an ambiguous statement. This is, by the way, from Cointelegraph.com. About the government's relationship to Bitcoin, telling Fox Business, quote, the Bitcoin to me was always what the governments are going to feel about Bitcoin as it gets really big. Although it's unclear, according to Cointelegraph, what Dimon intended to say with these words, in the context of his earlier comments on the subject from 2015, he may have meant that cryptocurrency would eventually become government-controlled. In 2015, Dimon stated more clearly, quote, it's just not going to happen. You're wasting your time. This is... Can you imagine buying Bitcoin in 2015 and then today looking back and thinking about whether you wasted your time? Yeah, you didn't waste your time. If you bought Bitcoin in 2015 today, you're a very, very happy person. Now, if you're buying Bitcoin today in 2018, at the end of this year, you may end up being a very happy person as well. If it's anything like what 2017 was like with over, what, 1,500%, 2,000% increases in the price of Bitcoin – yeah, everybody who bought Bitcoin in 2017 pretty much
money.
Is happy at the moment, unless they bought it like
the
19,000.
Yeah, the peak at 19.
But give it 3 months and it might be up, you know, past
25,
that.
Yeah. Or it may come down and its replacement.
It could
pop up.
Anything can happen. We can't predict.
And the smart
what's
thing to
happen.
Do is when you see its replacement kind of passing you by, slide your money over into that car as it goes by, you know, and just let it carry your money back up with it.
Just wanted to celebrate with the people in Nevada over that victory of the Bundy trial. That was something that I kind of thought they had themselves over a barrel and had to drop the charges, but I just couldn't see the government dropping them like that. But It was it happened. Good news.
That, well, they realized they couldn't beat them at a jury. I mean, the juries kept, for those listeners not sure what we're talking about, the Bundy Ranch standoff in, I think it was 2014, where some ranchers, the Bundy family, were and their supporters had a standoff against the federal government's Bureau of Land Management. The juries in these cases have been setting these folks free.
Oh, you mean the FBI murder of that poor old man?
That was later. Yes, that was the Malheur Federal Wildlife Refuge, which involved some of the Bundy brothers, but wasn't the same event as the Bundy trials, although those guys were also let off by a jury as well, many of them. There were a few guilty pleas here and there, but for the most part, when these folks had the courage to take their charges to trial, they found that the juries actually agreed with them, which is was refreshing, because a lot of times juries will just go along with whatever the prosecutors say. The Japanese idol company Cinderella Academy created the group called Virtual Currency Girls. They picked the girls from an established group, apparently, but they're not saying in this Bitcoin.com article what the name of that group is. But yet they do name the girls. They go down the list. They range from ages 15 up to 22. And there are two girls in the group who did not disclose their ages. They then go on to talk about the Japanese K-pop and J-pop phenomenon that started in the 1970s, apparently, and how huge of a – really, I mean, this has become a global thing. I mean, initially it was just in those countries.
Well, they used to – there was a band that came out of that movement back in the 90s and the early 2000s that was popular in the U.S. They make songs about food.
Who?
I can't even remember their name, but they literally, like, they were a band, like, they made songs about cotton candy and pizza and cheeseburgers. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, the lyrics were about eating food.
The lyrics of these songs are the most, you know, basic, simplistic, poppy lyrics. Like, there's no meaning whatsoever in, at least the songs that I've seen. I'm not a humongous K-pop fan, but I did have a phase where I was listening to some of it pretty often. And I always enjoy not knowing what the lyrics are.
People who are in the anime community are all into J-pop. You know, like, they listen to the songs.
Yeah.
The J-pop people put the songs together for the anime.
It's as popular there
as, it's all interlinked
as pop music is here, right? Like, here in the U.S.
It's the same. Like, here we had, you know, I'll be there for you. And that
the
became
same
a huge,
poppy crap. Yeah.
It became a huge pop hit.
Yeah.
Same thing there.
Same thing. That's why I say the lyrics are vapid as hell if you actually look at the translations, which is why I just like to listen to the music, because it's nice when you can't understand the lyrics and you can really kind of – it doesn't distract you from the
– how stupid it is doesn't distract you from the fact that, wow, that's kind of catchy and airwormy and like I'm never going to get it out of my head.
There's the J-pop girls Baby Metal that are – they teamed up a J-pop band, like, you know, teenage girls, with a heavy metal band that just shreds it. And it's an amazing, like, meeting of two completely different worlds, right? Like, heavy metal artists in the United States would never have, you know, teenage girls in miniskirts up on stage dancing. That just wouldn't – it wouldn't happen. But it did happen in Japan.
Kitty was pretty close.
And they made it work. I'm not familiar with that one.
Kitty was a heavy metal band I was into in the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. And it was all-girl hard rock. And, I mean, they were really – attractive girls.
That's cool.
Though. Like, really, really attractive.
Well, these girls aren't playing instruments. The girls in this group,
they're just
the J-pop's, you know, dancers or whatever and singers. I think you guys were speculating earlier that his daughter was into Bitcoin.
No speculation. No? Mike was saying that when he first made his original comments about Bitcoin and how cryptocurrency was basically a scam, it was because his daughter had bought a bunch of cryptocurrencies, and he felt that she had been taken advantage of.
Right. No, I knew that
scammed.
Was true. But
and
I was
now.
I was,
now she still has her cryptos, and she has She's done very, very well for herself, and he has a great big chunk of humble pie to eat.
But the speculation, what I was saying was, is that. What is the reason why he regrets
it? Yeah. The speculation we're wondering is like, I wonder how much the daughter is like, so old man, big mouth,
dad,
thought that you knew everything, huh?
So maybe that's it. And I think that's a fair speculation, but he's not saying why that was. But I wanted to get into his quote here from 2015. Now, this is before we had heard of the Jamie Dimon guy, because he was making the splash in the headlines about Bitcoin at the end of the summer in 2017. But in 2015... when responding to a question about the potential for a decentralized shadow economy of cryptocurrencies, Diamond said this, quote, "It's just not going to happen. You're wasting your time. This is my personal opinion. There will be no real non-controlled currency in the world. They're the ones who are in control of money. They are the ones who have been historically in control of money. Them and their government buddies, they team up to debase the money that they create. They walk away, you know, laughing all the way to their banks while the rest of us get screwed by inflation, while the rest of us have to suffer as the governments print out more and more of this money. Just look at Venezuela if you need a current example of that. And but Venezuela is just a, you know, an exaggeration of what is the standard around the world. The standard is the government and the banks screw people by printing money. And when this other money, this more solid money that actually goes up in value over time has come out, well, no wonder they're mad. And so he's just touting the government line here, saying, well, there's no government that's going to put up with it for long. Well, that was 2 years, 3 years ago that he said that statement. And now we got more cryptocurrencies than ever before, and there's now more value in the total amount of cryptocurrencies than ever before. I know that some of our listeners have been asking for a long time, what's with Will? How come he doesn't have a podcast? We can't listen later. We can't, you know, if you're working, you know, you work second shift or something like that, you may not be able to listen at work. A lot of people have been wanting to listen to Call to Freedom in podcast form. That's coming soon, right?
Yeah.
Like this week kind of soon? When's that going
to
happen?
They should start being uploaded tomorrow.
Okay.
Kind of soon. Daryl is working on it, finishing everything up right now. It'll just be like the podcast on the podcast websites. But then here coming shortly, it's probably about a week after that, you'll be able to actually listen to the podcast to each. Like basically when you go to the website for the Call to Freedom,
calltofreedomlive.com,
you'll be able to hear yesterday's episode, playing today. Unless we're on the air, and then you'll hear our LRN player, and you'll be able to hear us live.
And you can subscribe live. You can to an RSS feed in your favorite podcast.
That is correct.
So
you'll be able to subscribe to the RSS feed from our website. So you'll be able to go to the website now. So you'll be able to get in on it. But the problem, here's the problem with podcasting, though. If you listen to the podcast, you can't win free money.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.